we've been looking over the last several weeks at the title of our lesson is Welcome Trials, Come On In. And like that's a guest that we would invite into our house, actually most of us would lock the door, amen, when we saw trials at the door. But we looked at Roman numeral number one, just by way of review on your lesson there. We looked at the pedigree, and we looked at the person, the searching, and we trying to look at who this James was. And we believe this James to have been the Lord's brother, and initially to be an unbeliever, and have seen the risen Christ, and who had been converted. He was an apostle, and he had prominence in Jerusalem. And then we looked at the servant, and that Greek word there in verse 1, James, a servant. It's that word doulos, a bond slave, someone that willingly serves his master. And boy, that's the way we ought to be, folks. I posted today on an internet site about tonight, and I said, you know what? I get to go to church tonight. Amen. You know, I don't have to go. Well, you say, well, you're the pastor. You do kind of have to go to church. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I don't want to ever get to the stage where I have to go to church. The scourge, listen, in my opinion, and I was talking with Miss Kim about this today, the scourge of second-generation Christianity is that we've not taught our children that service springs from love. We get to come to church. We get to worship the Lord. We get to read our... We don't have to, we get to. What a privilege, amen. And that's the way a servant looks at his master, amen. So we looked at the searching the servant. Page 2. Not only the person, but we looked at some of the particulars. Who did James write to? He wrote to the 12 tribes, which were scattered abroad. And remember, of course, the church at Jerusalem had tremendous growth, and that God saw fit to allow persecution to come in and disperse Christians. And the great thing is, when you disperse Christians, you disperse the Word of God. It's the whole principle of missions. You really get it from this passage. The church at Jerusalem was big, it was growing, and God said, more than Jerusalem needs me. Amen. And he scattered the people. Amen. And so then we looked at, last week primarily, we looked at the pronouncement there, Roman numeral number 2, the pronouncement. We looked at the community, my brethren. He was talking to Christians. Amen. And then he said, we had the community, then we had the counting. Count it all joy. Then we looked at the certainty. When, not if you fall, but when you fall into diverse temptations. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't figured it out by now, there's going to be trials in your life. There's going to be testings in your life. There's going to be difficulties. Listen, why? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. First of all, but second of all, we have a heavenly Father who allows things to be produced in us through trials. And so we have the community, the counting, the certainty, the calamities. You fall into diverse temptations. And we have a quote here from Spyro Zodiades. Joy under all circumstance should be the main characteristic of the Christian life. Circumstances of life affect us adversely or beneficially. And we talked about that last week. You get to choose whether you get better or bitter from a trial. The wise Christian says, you know what? I want to find out what God's doing in my life. And even with tears flowing out of my eyes, I can still have joy on the inside, knowing I've got a heavenly Father. And he's working on my behalf. So we looked thirdly at the production. It says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God does things with a purpose, amen? He doesn't just bring trials into our life for no reason at all, but rather that we would know that they produce, first of all, they produce patience before men. We looked at verse 3 there. It says, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but also praise before God. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, 7. The trying of your faith being more precious than gold to the praise of Jesus Christ. Amen. And to just think that God himself would allow us to go through trials that we could be to his praise is an amazing thing. Now we're on the back page here, last page. Number 4, we see we've looked, number 1, at the pedigree, number 2, the pronouncement, number 3, the production. Number 4, we looked at the perfecting. The perfecting. Look at verse number 4. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay? The perfecting. The word perfect, now when we think of perfect in our modern English vernacular, we think of it being sinless or faultless, without error, without flaw. This Bible word is a different word here. The word perfect is translated from the Greek word teleos, is the word teleos, and it meaning complete. In various applications of labor or growth, mental or moral character, etc. The next word there, blank line there, completeness of full age. Perfect, okay? We would refer to it in the our modern word as mature. Maturing. This time, I was over at the Howlands on Monday. My family and I had the privilege to visit them. And I looked at their corn, and it didn't look very perfect. So most farmers would say the corn is not very mature this year. Why? No rain. No rain. It didn't look like it was of full age. So when we're looking at here, this perfecting, it's a maturing, okay? And so look, if you would, number one there, we see the process in verses 2 through 4. The perfecting, and then number one, we see the process. Here's the process. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Growth is often a painful process. On your outline. Growth is often a painful process. Anybody here, when you were younger, have a growth spurt? Boy, I did. Mr. Merrill says he's having one right now. Amen. We're not talking about horizontal growth. Amen. And by the way, that's a painful process too. Amen. But boy, I really, if I recall, Mom could tell you better than I did. There was a summer in which I grew about 5 inches. And I'm going to tell you, when you grow 5 inches in 3 months, everything hurts. Every joint and ligament stretches. And it... growth is often a painful process. Next line here. Growth is usually precipitated by three things we talk about growth. First of all, time. Growth happens over time. Aren't you glad, I hope you are, that God doesn't put all the trials on you then that he does now? Why? There's a maturing process. We mature in our faith and trust of Jesus. So first bullet point there, growth is usually precipitated by time. Growth is usually precipitated by pressure. Pressure produces growth. How do you know that, Pastor? Listen, what you do under pressure is what you are. How you react under pressure is what you are. Pressure simply reveals what you are. You know that about a diamond. Listen, you put a piece of coal under pressure, and it becomes a diamond. Okay? Pressure precipitates growth. Time precipitates growth. You know what else precipitates growth? Resistance. Resistance. If you've ever lifted any weights, that people will tell you that the best way is not to just put a whole bunch of weight on there, but to put resistance against your muscles. That's why when you rehab, do therapy, aqua therapy is always the best. It's perfect resistance. Resistance precipitates growth. And I want to tell you, trials always include time, pressure, and resistance, don't they? Amen? Next line. The process of growth here in our text is as follows. A, God permits trials. And folks, never forget this. Never forget this. Satan is the God of this world. Small g, but he's got a lot of power. Okay? Forgive me, God's sovereign, but Satan's in charge right now. By God's permission. You see, when Satan wanted to tear Job limb from limb, he still had to come to God and ask. So remember this. When you have a trial in your life, the process is this. God permits it. Many times we'll say, God, why are you doing this to me? The truth is, God is not doing it. He's allowing it. Okay? It's important that you get that. God permits trials. Here's the process. What's the process for? It's for perfecting. It's for maturing. Here's the process. God permits trials. B, trials are to be joyfully endured. Now, that's the hard part. Okay? Easy to preach that from the pulpit. Can I tell you, earlier this year when I went through one of the darkest trials of my life, I wasn't walking around singing zippity-doo-dah. Okay? But you know, you can still have joy on the inside when the tears are flowing on the outside. You can still have that joy knowing I belong to you. You've brought this. You've allowed this to come into my life for a purpose. To make me more like Christ, to mature me in my faith. Again, listen, folks, I'm not claiming divinity in that, okay? When we all go through trials, we hurt. And we don't like to hurt. As I've said often, if you've got a bad tooth, you don't want a sermon on it. You don't want to be told about why it's bad. You just want relief. Trials are the same way. Except if we understand that God allows them into our lives and He has a purpose for them, we can joyfully endure them. Next step in the process. Knowing that trials produce patience, if allowed. And that, if allowed, is if you and I will allow that working to take place. See, that's why God told us, count it all joy. It was a command, because as we mentioned last week, it is not a natural thing to count it joyful and to say, God, I know this is going to produce fruit. No, but if you will count it all joy and know in your heart, according to these scriptures, God is going to make me more mature. The process continues on. Most of us will cut the process right there. We'll say, I'm not going to joyfully endure this. I'm just going to get through this. And then, boy, you don't get to see what God's doing in your life. Last part of the process. Patience produces maturity. But, it's not on our outline, but wait a second, Pastor. Trials produce patience. And I don't like the trials. Well, if you don't endure the trials joyfully, you don't get to pluck the fruit of patience off the tree. And listen, I know that's easy preaching and hard living. I know it is. Those of you that have been saved 30 and 40 and 50 years, aren't you glad for the things that you went through that God produced the fruit of patience in your life? I'll tell you, the older I get, and listen, my children are 2 and 4 and 1 on the way. I know I have need of patience. And they are my little trials that bring it. Amen? They are. Hey, last line here, number 2. We looked at the perfecting. We looked, number 1, at the process. Number 2, the purpose. What's the purpose? Well, I don't think I could have said it any better than Lehman Strauss here, so I just quoted his notes here. He said this, "Have you a desire to grow up into Jesus Christ? Does your heart yearn to be conformed into His image? God's goal for us, completeness with nothing lacking, is expressed in the word perfect. And the Holy Spirit will use every trial accepted in the right scriptural sense, and that's our choice to accept it, to produce in us maturity of Christian character. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Sooner or later, praise God for this, you ought to mark this, you ought to underline this, you ought to highlight this. Sooner or later, your trial will come to an end. And remember, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The purpose is maturity. The purpose, according to the text, if you look at it, is that we may be perfect and entire, complete, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing, meaning not lacking anything in the area of maturity. I know it sounds funny, but who is it? It's trials. Welcome, trials. Come on in. That God's going to do something through the trials. Father, thank you for this wonderful evening. Thank you for this gathering together that we have here down in our fireside room. What an intimate service tonight. I pray that you would bless those in our congregation that are going through trials. God, each one in here has a different trial. Lord, for some it's, Lord, the trial of aging. Lord, they just simply can't do the things that they used to do, and it's frustrating. And people my age, we don't understand that. Oh God, would you give them patience, produce patience in their lives to know that you know what they can do. Lord, for those that have a terrible, terrible emotional trial in their life, oh God, would you please produce patience in their lives. Lord, those that have, Lord, not wants, but true needs in their life, oh God, would you produce patience through the trial. God, and help us to be perfect, oh, not without fault, but mature and wanting nothing. We pray for your blessing now, and we thank you. We pray that you'd please dismiss us with your blessing tonight. Lord, we love you, and thank you for all that you give to us. And thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.